Tonight, our guest, Dr. Barry Taff. He has consulted for government, businesses, and law enforcement, including the CIA, the Office of Naval Intelligence, National Security Agency, the Defense Language Institute, Defense Intelligence Agency, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the FBI, the LAPD, California Highway Patrol, and so much more. Dr. Taff has written numerous articles for magazines and journals and has been featured in many books on paranormal subjects, ranging from precognition to UFOs. He is the author of the very good book, Aliens Above, Ghosts Below. You can find links to that on his website at barrytaff.net. Dr. Taff, we were talking in the last segment about this energy field, this force, this zero-point energy, and if we could figure out how to contain it and understand it, we would have an amazing energy source. When you talk about these, you know, the ability of some of these craft that can fly and talking about alien UFO technology and our back developing these crafts so that we might be able to utilize it for ourselves, do you see that, or I guess I should start off with this way. First of all, do you believe that we truly are getting this information from otherworldly sources, out of our planet, or do you believe that it's just what our scientists have begun to develop and understand?
The evidence suggests both. There's good evidence, well, there is evidence, that something crashed in the Black Forest, Germany in 1936, and they were reverse engineered it. They may have actually built some prototypes that never actually flew in combat because the war ended when it did. There's also evidence that I've run across that technology was taken back to Los Alamos and Sandia in New Mexico, which are national labs. Now, this is what the Bayesians, they said, this Lockheed Martin TR-3B, no rockets, no jet, no jets, no propeller. It is rendered almost, what it's doing is neutralizing gravity with this power field. And they're not creating it, they're tapping into it. And again, this would change everything we know about reality in ways we can't imagine. Just think of what it was like 1,000 years ago with no technology, and suddenly it's there. It would change everything we know of for the right reasons. And the thing that's going to stop it from coming to the public and being commercialized is power and money. People don't like the people that own these big companies. They don't like massive change because they're making really good money the way it is. Who wants change?
Can I ask you this? With maybe understanding the energy and tapping into the field, you know, my understanding of the way soap and water works is the fact that water has a skin to it. Water itself doesn't really clean us. It'll rinse off the chunks and what's there. The soap opens that skin on the water so that the water becomes effective. Is that essentially what we need to do? Is we need to use some kind of emollient to open that energy field so that we can right. slip in and utilize right. it? Is that what we're
right.
looking
exactly.
to do?
All we're doing is tapping into what's already there. We're not creating it. An example, in all the thousands of cases I've investigated, the most common thing is a geomagnetic or electromagnetic anomaly at the site. And then you get these people who are neurologically wired in such a way they're either seizure prone or epileptic. And many and some of them have problems coping with stressful situation. If all those variables are in the right place at the right time, you may get physical phenomena, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, pyrokinesis, apports, objects, you know, catching fire, machines turning on and off. And this is a product of our, it's real, it's paranormal, but we are the cause of it. And what's important is, this is what my book talks about. What you don't know is that in the near future, I've got a number of graphic novels coming out that will illustrate what it is I'm talking about in different cases at a very dramatic level.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking with Dr. Taff. Warp drive, does that exist? How about teleportation, being able to beam ourselves from one place to another? Are we actually manipulating our energy force, pulling ourselves apart and then reassembling, or is simply folding time and space and walking through to that next area? How does this work, and does it exist? We'll find out more from our guest, Dr. Barry Taff, right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Aliens Above, Ghosts Below. That is the book by our guest, Dr. Barry Taff. Tonight, we're looking at forbidden technology and sciences. Does the government actually have a warp drive? Can they actually teleport us? Can we do that? Is that available to us? Time travel, is this real? Dr. Taff is here to try to shed some light on these subjects for us and help us understand a little bit better how science works and what there is proof of. Now, Dr. Taff, you talked about when I brought up the fact that if this technology exists, why wouldn't we use it to take over? Why wouldn't we have more control in the world? And you said because they don't want it to be known that it's out there. Yet there are many whistleblowers that have already shared this information. There are people like you that have worked in these fields and have talked about your experiences and what you've seen. So it's not really that well hidden. At this point, wouldn't it make more sense to utilize that technology and that work to be able to, you know, start colonizing or mining other planets and moons and getting the resources that we need so desperately here on Earth?
Well, I think the groups that are doing this work, let's say the parts of the military and government and private corporations, they closely guard it because the thing is, once we run out of renewable resources, which we will. Oh, look what we found. Oh, look, we found this. We don't need oil anymore. It's very protective. And also, in case there's another real war, we could use it. Most people don't know this, or maybe they've heard of this. During the first Gulf War, there was one of the largest mass surrenders of any military in history from within Iraq. And in the first Gulf War, what was amazing is the evidence suggests that we used some form of psychotronic weapons, that we used ELF and ULF bombarding of electromagnetic energy on the troops, which made them irritable and paranoid, and that's why they surrendered. And there's also evidence that in the Gulf War, the war in the Middle East, we have for, 10 years now, 11 years now or more, there's evidence that we've been using directed energy weapons very discreetly. The evidence first suggested it was fire, but no, the way things were fused, this is more indicative of a very powerful high-energy laser. And there's no public acknowledgement of this. The people doing this, the companies, the unacknowledged special access programs, this is very protective technology because they don't want anyone else to know about it. To show how insane it is, the government developed a non-nuclear form of electromagnetic pulse. If that pulse is pushed through electronic solid-state technology, the technology is dead. It can't be used again. You got to replace the transistors, the resistors, and the diodes, and the capacitors, everything. They developed a version of this they can mount in the front of police cars, the highway patrol, a non-nuclear EMP. They're chasing the bad guy. If they push a button, it blasts that EMP out at the car in front of them stops. You know why they didn't approve it? They were afraid the wrong people would get hold of it and could bring society to its knees. That's the same thing. We don't want the neighbors knowing about this, so we hold it back if we use it very discreetly, but we don't talk about it.
Could that be, if we're truly utilizing that kind of weapon technology and we're changing magnetic or pulsing, you know, doing these things, is there a possibility that the butterfly effect is what's causing all of the strange weather and geomagnetic issues that are going on around the planet, why we're getting these strange weather patterns, these massive hurricanes and storms that blow out of nowhere, the polar vortexes that have been felt around the United States in changing the kind of weather principles of the world this last year? Could there be some of that butterfly effect from the technology we're utilizing?
We first have to understand that the Earth, since its dawn creation, has gone through many cycles, warming and cooling cycles, long before humans existed and long before modern technology existed. I believe there is global warming, but we are not the cause, nor are these weapons. However, there is something up in Alaska called HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Program, whatever, HARP, and Leachers Program. It's a series of gigantic antennas to bounce energy off the ionosphere, and there's all these theories that they may be using it as a weapon system in warfare, and it's remote, and it could do terrible things to people and to technology. But there's no evidence. They think they're doing it, and it was developed by the intelligence community and the military again. I don't know. My guess would be this would be, for example, you tell someone that some people have the ability with their minds to access this power field and through their subconscious or unconscious, manipulate it, mediate it, and make it do things that normal energy can't do without producing heat. This is what poltergeist cases are about. I think that, like, UFOs are using the same energy we call paranormal the way we use electromagnetism. They're using this energy that can manipulate space and time. Now, had the war in Germany gone on, and Hitler used the ME-262 to shoot down our B-17s, very likely we could have lost that war. They ran short of ordnance. They ran short of material. They ran short of everything, food and oil and gas. Right now, the world's in a weird place because there are so many black programs that have no congressional oversight. It's ridiculous. But, and what's interesting is when you bring up the concept that people can affect things at a distance, not just see them, everyone stops talking. I won't say who, but I was talking this with one of the head people from the remote viewing program on my show a few years ago, and when it came up, he just stopped talking. He got upset and just changed the subject on me. Oh, well, why would he do that unless there was a problem with it, meaning it's something the government doesn't want to know? Now, what's interesting, a normal person has a very weak magnetic field to the point where almost can't be measured. A poltergeist agent, their bodies are producing over a million times the magnetic strength of a normal person. Is this energy that couples with the environment, if it's correct, and wham, things happen. This is the energy that can drive starships. This is the energy, if we tap into it, can change society in ways we can't imagine. And we've known of this for more than 45 to 50 years. And the evidence suggests, again, that these alien reproduction vehicles, ARVs, have been flown all over the solar system and maybe beyond in real time. Not years or decades to get out there, but in, like, you go take a trip from LA to New York. And we're not being told about this because it's too dangerous to put this out there. This, if weaponized, could make nuclear technology look like a toy. That's the potential. There is radiation linked to it, but in a different way. So we're looking at something that's vast, that's, weirdly enough, we, as some people, can tap into it and put it to use. And this is what I've been dealing with in my cases for 40-some-odd years. When you see these things flying around, fires break out, things disappear and reappear, from what? Nothing we know can do it. That's all they left. Like I said before the break, I'm doing something very new I've never done before. What I'm doing is based on my book, Aliens Above and Ghosts Below. There'll be a series of graphic novel, motion picture, comic series based on my true events of my life with over 4,000 scientific cases. Other than the Entity movie, my case files have never been depicted on TV or film, but which is now they're going to be the source material for the exciting ongoing graphic novel series. My persona will be the main character, blah, 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 blah. One will be based on the Entity case, one will be based on the Hollywood haunting, and one on a dramatic abduction of a network executive back in the late 1970s. And this is all through my manager, Mark Downey. He's the producing partner, Matthew Morris, and Antarius Entertainment, putting together with a major private financier. Give you an idea what we're talking about. On the copy for the graphic novels, they'll be working with genuinely talented writers, for example, that Mark manages, Preston Lancaster, adapting the Entity case, Oliver Ottley, adapting Hollywood Haunting, and Jeffrey Cheshire, adapting the Executive Chaos. The artwork and production of the series will be working with one of the leading graphic novel production distribution studios in North America, which I can't yet mention, as we're just closing the deal. So this will bring the reality of my book to the visual media. You can see it, and some of it will be animated.
And do you have any concerns that by doing a form of information release that way, that maybe the science and the system behind it will not be as well looked upon? It may be scrutinized more because it's being released in that form?
Well, believe it or not, one of the times I worked with you in the past on the Queen Mary, I gave a lecture similar to what I'm talking about now, but it was more focused on energy and the zero-point field. About a year later, I got a call from a friend in the DOD. Now she works at the DOE. And she said my lecture was well-received, and it bothered a lot of people. And why? Because it seems every time someone is getting really close to developing this energy technology, they disappear or they're found dead. Well, I can't develop it because I don't have billions or trillions of dollars. I don't have the context. So even if I could build a reactor like this, or a means to propel vehicles, or aerospace vehicles, or trucks, or planes, or boats, I couldn't do it because you need a fortune. So there's a reason this stuff's being concealed from the public. It would be the biggest change in society since the Industrial Revolution in ways we can't even begin to imagine. The entire world changing, where the idea of, what do you mean you had to generate electricity? You just imagine every car having a black box where the engine is. It draws power, and the car runs, and it runs, and it runs. And there's no gas. There's no oil. There's lubricating fluid for the electric motors. This is the worst thing I can imagine, is in 40 or 50 years when I'm gone, there'll be people scratching their heads going, oh, it's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a UFO, it's a UFO. Some UFOs are ours, some UFOs are not. It'd be like another thing. There have been weird instances. I wrote a script about some of this. I won't get into it.
Let me ask you one thing. Yeah. You said some are ours, some are theirs. UFOs being unidentified flying objects, things that are flying around our planet. But do you believe that we do have the propulsion system or the warp drive that we have gone outside of our universe or outside of our area in space time travel yet?
Well, again, Richard Dolan and a few other people, the individuals have done research on this. And again, the evidence strongly suggests that our military and different major companies have developed a form of warp drive, field propulsion. And they'd be able to travel, like one of the things Ben Rich said, we have the technology to take E.T. home, not hundreds or thousands of years, but like going to the corner to get a glass of water. If this is true, and I for some reason think it is, it obsoletes everything we know in the world about energy. But this isn't just about traveling. This is about who we are. It opens up a very large can of worms. Who we are, where we come from, where we're going to. And from what I've seen in all the decades I've been lecturing on this, most people, this might upset them quite severely. What if we discover we have an inconceivable past and an unimaginable future? Meaning that we are the result of someone else's experiment. Intelligent design is correct, except God wasn't behind it. Not this time. We were created by another race of beings. What if some factions of the earth know this? Then what? What are you going to do? Oh, well, there is God, but we were made by some other race about 2.8 million years ago, and they're still intervening. They're still changing things. And
it's the 21st century. I think a lot of people already kind of expect that theology, as we were brought up to believe, is not exactly on point, and that there is scientific proof that seems to correlate the fact that we didn't belong here. Our bone structure, our muscle ligature and connections aren't really made for this planet. So I think people are readily ready to accept that aspect. And, church, I don't believe it has the same kind of hold it used to have on us. I've got about 10 seconds left with you on this. Where do you feel on that?
You're right, but also part of you is wrong, in my opinion. Because, people should go to church and temple and synagogue and mosque every week, every day. They go there, and if you disenfranchise them, you leave them as like, what? What was that? Oh, my God. So now we don't have just black, white, red, yellow, and brown. We have gray or green or blue or something like that. What? And they made us? Not good.
What if that was the failsafe? What if the whole story of the Antichrist was so that when the truth did come out, we would question it and not accept it because we were told that that's not the way it is? Interesting. Dr. Barry Taff, our guest this evening. You can check out his website, barrytaff.net. There's links for it at the Coast to Coast AM website. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this. Our guest this evening on Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Barry Taff. Parapsychologist Dr. Taff has written the book Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, covering a lot of the information we're speaking about tonight, a lot of different insight on the paranormal field and making it normal again. You can find information about him at his website, barrytaff.net. There are links to it on the coasttocoastam.com website. You can go over and check that out as well. In this next segment, we're going to continue to talk about some of the forbidden technologies. We'll open up phone lines at the top of the hour. If you have questions for our guest, Dr. Barry Taff, we encourage you to hold off and give us a call at the top of the next hour. We'll work you in for the next hour with our guest. The forbidden technology and all of this information that's out there, Dr. Taff, do you believe that America is the leader in this technology field, or do you believe that it's pretty evenly dispersed and that's why we're not seeing it weaponized yet?
I think whoever's developing it is holding it back until we absolutely need it. There's so much money involved and power, both financial and otherwise, that nobody wants to play their hand. It's a weird place to be for these people because you're talking about programs that have no oversight, that trillions of dollars disappear from our government and others and given to these very unusual covert programs of technological development in things we could never imagine. And it's sort of the change we need as human beings on the planet to live and prosper is being withheld because of the money and power involved. Example, a couple of years ago, I met some guys from Caltech that developed a new lithium-ion polymer battery pack. They tested it in trucks and cars and buses, and it worked really well. It could charge in a couple minutes. You get 300 to 400 miles or more on one charge, and it was just more powerful than most internal combustion engines. They tested it. It was robust. It was a small thing. It was less heat. They brought it to the auto companies, and guess what the response was? They said, if you try to get this on the market, you're going to be in the same box it's in. So this whole thing about, you know, evolving into totally non-combusted technology is a joke. There's too much money in what we're doing. That's what we're seeing is it's kind of a feeble attempt to change things. Another example, back in 1966, Andy Granatelli put a turbine car at Indianapolis. All-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. It almost won the race, but the last lap of ball bearing went out and failed. The people that do Indy were so intimidated by this, they diminished the size of the turbine and put a restrictor on the air intake, and again, a ball bearing broke and it failed, but it was still walking away from all the other cars. The result is turbines were banned from Indianapolis because they were superior. So we don't want any better. We just keep doing the same thing.
Dr. Barry Taff, our guest, we have to take another break. Dr. Taff, hold tight. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after this. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Dr. Barry Taff. We're discussing forbidden technology. Let's talk about the different versions. Now, I'm just going to throw these out. I'd like real quick responses if you believe that this does exist and truly is out there. Do you believe that there is a form of time travel that is currently being used, Dr. Taff?
To one degree or another, yes. But I don't think it's like anything we've seen in the movies. I think it's very limited what can be done. And it, in a way, it'd be like taking a trip you can never return from. It's like a one-way event. But I think it's crude. I don't think it works at all like we've seen in the movies. And if it did, you could go around screwing up history real bad. I mean, you know, the old adage, you go back, you kill your grandparents, and then you come back and you weren't born. Well, then you can't do that because you are born. You were here. It's more science fiction. But I think the same technology that produced, is able to neutralize inertial mass and decouple from gravity and allow vehicles to travel faster than light, is at work here. We're looking at, and this is the same energy that allows us to perceive things all through time and through space. It's all part of the same mechanism, all of it. That's my opinion. And, you know, there's no name for it. Like I said, in the new Star Trek movie of 2009, when Scotty said, and, you know, when he said, who would have thought it was space? It was the space, the thing that was moving. It was amazing. I go, wow, it was a great line. Did a great job. That's it. It's easier to move space than it is to move an object. So you can exceed light speed. And if you exceed light speed, you can go anywhere pretty quickly. And you can also move through time if you manipulate that technology to a more finer degree.
So yes, what is your definition then? Warp drive, is that simply the mechanics of being able to manipulate the speed that space is moving around us?
Right. Exactly. You create a warp bubble, like, and you ride a wave in a warp bubble, and the faster you make that wave go, the faster you go. So like warp 2, warp 6, warp 10. So to an observer, you would just disappear, and then you'd reappear at the location in the first Star Trek movie of 2009. That's what happened. When it was very interesting. They're going to Vulcan. Instead of taking days, pop, pop, you're there, basically. And that's the way it would work. The question is how you prevent people from being cooked or fried in the warp field. And to think that it's done with a mercury plasma, an Einstein-Bose condensate, it's very complicated, but it can be done, and it has been done, in my opinion. And we may never know about it. The public may never. I mean, imagine if all airlines were made obsolete. Who needs jet engine anymore? Who needs aviation gas? I mean, you know, forget it. This could be the biggest change in the history of humanity. And that's why a lot of people don't want it out, because they're making too much money the way things are. They don't want to change anything. Everything's going well.
So, do you believe, you know, I'm curious with this thought, and bear with me on this. We hear stories. I've personally had this happen in my own life, driving down 35W in Minnesota about 10 years ago. And it's icy out. I'm driving along. My car drifts to go over into the other lane. I hit a patch of ice, and my car begins to spin. Everything around us slows down. I know it was just a matter of seconds. Bam, and it was over. But I have this in-depth, detailed conversation with my son where we're both in a calm state, and we're discussing what's going on and what the potential outcome of what's going on could happen to us. You know, I apologize to him for putting us in the situation and told him I love him. Dad, don't worry, we're going to be fine, blah blah. We go through this. It was very calm, very slow, but it was unlike any other form of time I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. Is part of the travel of time travel and perhaps propulsion, you know, using a warp drive, is it somehow in the mental aspect of being able to warp it with our own field as well? Because it would seem that in those moments that people have related to me for time and time again, time doesn't seem to adhere to any rules.
Right. Well, those situations in which one is traumatized or shocked or in a very precariously dangerous situation, what happens is our focus changes and we go inward, and it's like time sort of stands still and it drags out. It's the opposite. It's sort of like when you're going in for surgery, they knock you out, you wake up, it feels like a minute's passed, and it's been 45 minutes to an hour. Again, depending on our state of consciousness, time, the flow of time for us will change. Again, in like an abduction cases, people sometimes, they're gone, they think they've been gone minutes and it's been hours, or they've been gone hours and it's weeks. So it's all relative, but what you're describing is more of a psychological situation where we're so focused that everything else seems to go away or go slow because we're going to only do one thing to cope with the potential trauma presented to us.
But in a sense, it seems that this is a bit of a holographic universe, and that it's the consciousness that dictates a lot of the laws that are around us. That's why these things do exist outside of our understanding.
Right. We perceive things remotely that are relevant to us, that are relevant to our needs, wants, and desires emotionally, one way or the other. A classic example, I've been a pilot for many years. The reason I didn't become an aviator was I'm too short, my vision wasn't good enough. But I've always loved flight of all types, you know, aircraft and spacecraft, the whole bit. On my table, my dining room table, I've got a 3-foot-long model of the Enterprise that's all lit up. It costs a small fortune. But the reason I'm getting to this is that there are situations where time does seem to stand still. If you move quickly enough, time slows down. If you get to the right speed, there is no time. You just sort of hang there. It's very, like, for example, when I'm busy writing on the computer, I'll think a few minutes gone by, and it's been 4 hours. Because you're focused on what you're doing, you're not looking at anything to keep you in the real world of time. One of my graphic novels will be based on, called Executive, Executive Chaos. A major TV network executive was abducted, and they ran across a UFO, and it began with paranormal phenomena, UFO. They saw the beings, the landed craft, the beings doing something, popped the light, blah, 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 blah. And then they're on the road many hours later. They have no idea what happened. They thought it was like seconds, and yet it was like 3 or 4 hours. Travis Walton was the same thing. He disappeared for several days. Time is always relevant here, or relative, I should say. And the question is, what are we applying it to? It's very difficult. For example, when we had that precognitive remote viewing session in the late 70s, the girl showed the daughter of Zorro, and she just freaked out. Chuck, I don't understand. How could you do this? We don't understand either, but we want to understand that we can do it. We tried it again. A few months later, all we saw was fire, fire, fire. It's in my book on my website. The next day, I'm up in the lab. It was the Thursday morning. I see fire engines coming to the neuropsychiatric institute where the lab was, and went downstairs. Our conference room caught fire. One of the outlets sparked, and it caught the drape on fire. No wonder why we saw fire the night before. That was imminent. It was relevant. It was terrifying. Fire, fire, fire. But the girl who's the daughter of Zorro, she goes, I don't understand this. How can you see this if it's not there yet? And this is what we're talking about. Our concept of life and death, birth and passing away, information, energy, consciousness, it's all wrapped up in this. This is all part of the same thing. We're used to linear time. Okay, another example. 1975, I had a terrible dream. I was with a girlfriend. In the dream, I'm piloting a 747. I know it's red and white. That's why I assumed it was 747 or TWA. We're approaching South Africa. Don't ask me how I know, because you can't see continental features at the altitude you fly at. And suddenly the turbofan, the drone goes away. And then all the control panel goes dark. And we fall down and we hit, explode. I jump out of bed. Oh, my God. Did some research the next day. No 747 had yet crashed. It was just went into service about a year or so earlier. A few days later, the first 747 crashed as the TWA and approached South Africa. What is the probability of that? And so I saw the future. Did I see a probable future, the only future? Can you imagine if it was today and I called the FAA? I'd be arrested. They probably thought I blew a plane up. So, again, time is relevant. It's all relative. If we're able to see through it, time means nothing. It's not even there. And this is where the problem lies. This will define a new reality to us. If you believe in reincarnation, then you've got to believe in pre-incarnation, which means if you live before, have access to that information from an earlier time, then why can't you have access to information of a future time related to you? That would be more interesting, because you could be productive and do something in the society to improve it.
But haven't they been able to do that with using the parameters of remote viewing, that they've been able to focus and see, I guess, potential outcomes to situations that they're able to target?
Right. Exactly. And some of that's been really fascinating. And that's what we did at UCLA for a while. And it's actually the second time we did it, it scared some of our regulars so badly they dropped out of the program. They couldn't cope with the stress it was giving them.
Was there any basic information taken at that time? Mm-hmm. Like the temperature around the remote viewers, as you're talking about the fact that you would think propelling or using that type of energy would cause some kind of kinetic heating, mm-hmm. were you able to actually find that barometric pressure or basic temperature would drop?
The only environmental parameters that seemed to be relevant based on the work decades ago was, for example, during a full moon, our results would diminish. During sand and wind conditions, which produce positive ions in the air, the results would diminish. Certain people would act as dampeners or nullifiers. They would wouldn't allow us to work. And if people couldn't get into an altered state, if they were too agitated, irritable, and they couldn't rest, we talked them through progressive muscular relaxation. If they weren't allowed to do that, they couldn't clear their heads and access information. And to me, the knowledge or the belief that part of the future is already there gives me a sense of peace, because it isn't random. It isn't chaos. It's real. It's real. And, you know, what do you do if you saw the future objectively without the unity of our mind with a machine? And you saw that you're going to December 3rd, you're going to marry Miss Mary Smith. And you're going to have three kids, and then it's going to be terrible. You get divorced. She takes you for everything. Or you're a girl, you marry the man, the same thing happens. And then you realize, my God, I'm not going to do this. But you end up doing it. It's really hard. It was, it'd be like, let's say you see that on June 1st, your friend John Smith's getting hit with a truck. That's all you know. So you put him in your closet, slip him a Mickey, give him some food, water, and, well, okay, I've solved that. He's not going to be hit by a truck. What you didn't know is the truck jumped the curb, went through your house, and killed him because it landed in the closet. In other words, you can't, this gets really complicated. I've had a number of these happen to me, and it's a learning. It's a learning experience where you know the shape of things to come, but you don't know enough to alter it. And what if that's the way things are? What if we're living in a universe, in a reality, to where we have no more control over our future than we have over our past? That would be very troubling. It would be a very so then why are we here? What's the point of being alive? I mean, if we're living out a play, like we're all actors in a large play, the whole thing is amazing. And the more we learn about it, the stranger it gets. You know, like I said, the poltergeist agents are putting up this tremendous magnetic field that's coupling with the environment, and their unconscious, their subconscious is lashing out, tearing things apart, making things explode or move or catch fire. I've had a few things going on here recently that amazed me. 3 years ago, I had a pair of shoes disappear on me. In my closet, in the box, they came in. Gone. No one's here but me. Gone. And then it happened last week, actually. I had some medication in large bottles that just arrived in my closet, in the mailer, in a Harvey cardboard box. I go to get one of the bottles, they're all gone. That nobody was here. So, in a port, and then I go to a meeting with a production company about a month ago, couldn't find my cell phone, thought it was on my desk. Okay, I'll go without it. I open the refrigerator door to get a drink of water, the cell phone falls right in my hands. Where, how to get there and why? I don't know. So, I don't know what's going on, but I've had these experiences, other people have had them.
Right, and apportation. I mean, they've actually documented flowers falling from the sky with no idea of where they're coming from. Coins that have dropped in. I'm trying to remember the case, and maybe you're familiar with it. It was like a pantry or closet.
Oh, yeah. Where
it
would be continued. That was the Hollymont Haunting, which will be one of the graphic novels.
Right, and coins, you said, unbelievable amounts were dropped out of nowhere.
We're in the pantry talking, and we're being pelted by a heavy rain of pennies. And it's hurting us. So we back out. We watch pennies falling from nowhere, like as if it was like in the first Poltergeist movie. Things are falling. Pennies, pennies, pennies. It filled up the floor maybe 3 to 4 inches deep. Newer pennies, older pennies, 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 pennies. I don't know. We had iced tea move on its own from one room to another. We had a chair fly across the room and pin someone to the door, and then a kettle flew off the stove and poured water over his head. And now we know, strangely enough, some of the reasons the place is afflicted by this phenomena. One is two earthquake faults meet almost directly under the house. Two, there's a shallow river under it, which is hydromagnetic. And there is a body buried under the house next door in a tunnel from Prohibition era. So this is on my website. You could read it. It's called Cielo Drive. It's called the Hollymont Haunting.
And that's at barrytaff.net, BarryTaff Net. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're opening up phone lines for your calls. Call in and join Dr. Barry Taff and myself here on Coast to Coast AM right after this.